That's right. So we kicked off last week, spring break. We traveled here, we traveled there, did a few things like that. Maybe you did too as a family. And one of the places we went, we were going there for more than just a few days. And so it's kind of a mini little vacation, fishing and family and fun and in East Texas. And so I have 4 kids. And so that's 6 of us that would pack up. And it's becoming more challenging as the kids get older for us to really fit it all in. And I've got a big old Suburban, and I'm telling you, it's challenging to get it all in. It's getting even harder because those little Cinderella suitcases for the girls, they don't work anymore. The girls need more now. You know, the legs are getting longer and the fashion is getting more prolific, and so they need more. And so I'm trying hard to stop being grumpy trail boss. Y'all know what grumpy trail boss is? One more, are you kidding me? You know, just I'm done with it. I just want to be cool, you know. I want to be chill and cool. And so this time I decided to try to compensate for the avalanche of luggage that I knew was coming. And so I predetermined that I would not be grumpy. I would create more space. And so I saw a friend who had done many trips like this, skiing and whatnot, and they had this wonderful contraption called the trailer hitch cargo holder, something like that. And it's this mesh metal platform that hitches on the back of your Tahoe, the back of your SUV, the back of your Suburban in my case, and it hitches on the back of that Suburban, and it can carry all these bins and all these cargo. And I'm like, yes, that has to be me. So I totally ripped off my friend, bought exactly the same one off Amazon, and it came, but it did not come fully assembled. And this is a problem, not fully assembled, okay? And so you may not know this about me yet, but I'm not like really handyman Bob the Builder Brandon. That's not me. I have challenges in this regard, and so I got the little assembly instructions, and I had them right there, and I was following them to the T. I was diligent. I was on it. I didn't miss a thing. And then it even said stuff I didn't know what it meant. I didn't understand it. It was confusing to me, like torque wrench. What is a torque wrench, right? And so I go to Ace Hardware, and I get me a torque wrench, and I do the torque wrench to 75 pounds like it says for me to do, which means that is not coming off. 75 pounds torque wrench, and I'm doing all that, and I have it assembled, and I have it, you know, I carefully place it in, get the pin in, get the clip on, and then I take another step, and I'm following it, and I put this extra little thing on and bolt it up, and I am just being super diligent. And just to make sure, I even went up to the church, and I brought out Chris and Rob, who are handy, and they know how to do all this stuff, and I said, talk to me, how did I do? And the reason I was so diligent on the instructions, the reason I was so thorough in making sure I was doing it right is because I'm just not willing to risk it if I'm plowing down the highway at exactly the speed limit to our officers out there. But if I'm plowing down the highway and this big metallic thing pops off, I can just imagine the damage that could happen or the hurt that could happen to the people behind me. I'm not willing to risk it. So I was diligent to follow the design of the people who had made it and knew how it was to function. How much more should we be diligent when it comes to our most precious cargo, our kids, our family, if there is a design? If there is a design to how the family is to be structured and built and operate, why would we not be even more diligent than I was for an impersonal cargo holder trailer hitch contraption? Why would we not be even more diligent? And yes, in following that design, we're going to run into some things we don't understand. we may actually come across some terms or even some things about the way that the author made it for the family that we will not understand. Are you willing to go try to figure it out? Are you willing to ask others to help you out? Are you willing to really double down and Google and really search harder and longer? Are we willing to be as diligent in our homes as we are in our projects? Because I'm not willing to wing it. I think some of us, we're willing to wing it. Some of us, we treat it just like that do-it-yourself. We say, I don't need a torque wrench. Come on, it's overkill. I've done 5 of these. When it comes to your family, man, God says torque wrench, you get the torque wrench. God says twist it 3 times, you twist it 3 times. God says insert this and use that, you do that. Whether you think it's overkill, whether you think it's right, whether you think it's wrong, there is a design. There is a design. And that design is there for a reason. That design is for our freedom. So that you could get on down the road. And with peace of mind, you don't have to worry about it coming off the hinges. You can drive on down the road full force in your freedom. And that's what we've been learning about the last several weeks as we've been walking through the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is God's instruction, God's law, God's instruction to open life up and help you just power forward into your future and into your freedom. They're not there to close life up. They're there to open life up. And when they were originally given, it was a group of people called the Israelites, the people of Israel. They had spent over 400 years in slavery. Over 400 years they had spent in slavery, and God had miraculously busted them loose. They're walking back to their homeland that they had been away from for far too long. And yet, as they were walking in their freedom and toward their promise, they still had a problem. They had a slave mentality. They had a bad filter. Set free, they didn't know how to live free. So God gathered them at the base of a mountain and said, let me give you some help. Let me help you, show you. If you'll follow it, this is what it looks like for you to live free. And that's what we get with the Ten Commandments. So today, we come to the fifth commandment. We've talked about love, no other gods before me. We've talked about no idols. We've talked about don't take the Lord's name in vain. We've talked about, hey, embrace the rhythm of the Sabbath for your blessing. And then today we jump in, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God has given you. So can you see God moving forward to the people of Israel and saying, you want to live free? Let me help you. Here's part of my design. Pull out the assembly. Here it is. Follow it diligently. Honor your father and mother. You'll live long in the land that I have chosen for you. You see, God is a God of order. And when there is no order, there is chaos. God is a God of order. All throughout the Old Testament, you will see a phrase, and the people did what was right in their own eyes. You'll see that phrase all over the place in the Old Testament. As you're reading through those Old Testament books of the Bible, you'll see, and the people did what was right in their own eyes. The book of Judges, and the people did what was right in their own eyes. Kings, people did what was right in their own eyes. And you'll see it time and time and time again. When they say, when the Bible says, and the people did what was right in their own eyes, I believe it's an accurate depiction of what we're experiencing in our culture today. When it comes to the home and so many other areas of life, we are functioning in a way that we feel is right. We're doing what our heart is leading us to do. We turn to the magazine articles. We turn to the blog posts. We turn to the talking head. We turn to Instagram or our good friend. And we're trying to figure out how to nail it. And we're figuring it out on our way, doing what we believe, what we want, what we believe is right. But if we were to really look closely, we would see that we're doing what is right in our own eyes, when God has clear design, ready, ready if you would follow it. And it often is the last place we turn for clear direction. In some of the most important areas of our life, God has order because God is a God of order. From the chaos, God brings order. That's the way he rolls. From the chaos, God brings order. That's his nature. God is not a God of disorder. God is not a God of chaos. God is a God of order because here's the truth. Your heart, left to itself, will gravitate back toward those chains. And it seems shocking. And it's hard to believe that we would do it. But the truth is, our heart, left to itself, will gravitate back toward those chains. Last night, one of our engineering kind of people came up to me after the service, and he said, never before in a service have I experienced this. I'm like, what? Tell me. What happened? He said, never before in a service have I experienced where the pastor accurately depicted the second law of thermodynamics. And I'm like, please explain the second law of thermodynamics. I may be getting it wrong, but this is what he said. He said, well, in a closed environment with no outside interference, no outside force, things will inevitably degenerate to chaos. And I'm like, whoa, that is deep, brother. Wow. I like to say it this way. The heart, left to itself, will gravitate back toward those chains. Truly, because of the broken world that we live in, chaos is the default. God wants to bring order to the chaos. And when it comes to our family, God has an order. God has a design. And there is a war against that design. There is a battle right now raging. Oh, we don't need to do that. Oh, come on, that's old. Oh, that's an updated paradigm. That is something that we don't need in our new enlightened culture. And I would say, how's that working out for us? The disintegration of the family, how's that working out for us? We can point to all the different reasons. We say, oh, well, I think we have a social media problem. Well, others would say, well, I think we have an internet problem. Others would say, well, we have an internet problem, which is leading to a pornography problem, which is leading to a culture that doesn't respect life kind of problem. We could say all these different things. We could say we have a legislative problem. We've got a politic problem. We've got all these problems. I'm telling you, there is a problem. It's a sin problem. And it is an inevitable gravitation toward chaos, which is a rejection of God's order. Here's the thing about God you got to know. God is a God who also allows you to choose. He says, hey, I've made an order. It will put you in the land, and you'll be living there long and prosperous. You will be thriving, but you get to choose my order. You get to choose my design, because I don't want happy robots. I want people with personalities and uniqueness, all embracing the design in their own setting and in their own way. So today's message, if you want to live free, honor your father and mother. That's where it's at. We've talked about all the different ways to live free, but this is the way to live free. But you may say, man, but the problem is that God's design, where he has created a family in Genesis 1 and 2, where you have a father, you have a mother, they're married and they have children. Well, my family unit has failed. My family unit has failed. Daddy went bananas and left, drained all the money. Mama did this. Brandon, when I think of my family unit, I don't think of healthy God, spiritual, happy, fully functioning. When I think of my family unit, I think of dysfunction. Here's a rule number one for all of us who have dysfunctional families or dysfunctional moments in our families. Don't deconstruct God's design because of your own family dysfunction. This is huge. This is a temptation. What we'll do is we will try to get God to come down we will bring down God's design to our dysfunction. Rather than us being honest with the dysfunctional elements of our life and saying, that's wrong, that's not right, that's not good, I'm going to aspire toward God's design. You either try to bring down God's design to your dysfunction, or you leave your dysfunction down where it's at and you go up to God's design. But don't deconstruct God's design to the level of your dysfunction. That'll leave you in a bad, bad place. Here's another example, another ground rule for dysfunction and struggle and failing family units is don't normalize what is abnormal. Don't normalize what is abnormal. Okay, so God's design is a father and a mother who are loving God. No other gods before me, no idols. They're not taking the Lord's name in vain. They're in all of this great teaching, a father and a mother, and they're having children, or there's a little happy family. Here we go. That is God's normalized design. And you would say, but I don't have that normalized design because somebody left me. I can't have father, mother, I can't, that's not our deal. What do I say to that? First of all, let me honor somebody. If you're a single parent in the room, single dad, single mom, I consider you a hero because I don't know how you would do it other than the Holy Spirit of God empowering you. I mean, I think about every morning when we're making those lunches and Susan's right beside me and I'm still stressed out. And you're there slaving it by yourself. Only the Spirit of God could empower you to be that strong, that positive, that persistent, showing up for the meetings, doing it all, dotting the I's, crossing the T's. You are a hero. And I'm telling you that it's not Father's Day, it's not Mother's Day, but every day is your day. You are our hero. Can we show some honor to the single parents in the house? And yet, I've heard this story multiple times where somebody was left. One friend of mine, single, the father left. The mother had to figure it out. He cleaned out the bank account. They had nothing left. They got to figure it out. And in this unusual situation that isn't what Genesis 1 and 2 wanted. It's not what the Exodus 20 is talking about in this abnormal, unusual situation. You've got to make it. And you've got to do what God wants you to do in that situation. You do it by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But what do you tell the next generation? And then one friend of mine made the mistake. The mother told my friend when she was a little girl, hey, I'll tell you what, you don't need a guy. You don't need a guy. Look how good we're doing. You don't need a guy. You don't need a guy. You don't need a guy. You don't need it. You don't need to ever get married if you don't want. You don't need a guy. You don't need a guy. And you know what? You don't need a guy. But here's what that talking point was doing in my friend, in her heart, is sowing the seeds and weaving a tapestry that said men are not to be trusted. Men are not to be trusted, And what she grew up with once she got married, she had to overcome some massive trust issues. Massive trust issues. Rather, to the single parents in the house, there are some of us that you're a single parent, and I honored you a second ago, but some of you, let's keep it real. Some of you are the ones who left. Some of us have been sinned against, and others of us have done the sinning. How do you navigate when you left your family and maybe later you came to your senses and you realize what the damage you've done and you feel deep, deep regret? That story is in this house. And you've sinned against God. You've sinned against your family. You've sinned against your children. You've created damage and you have deep regret. How do you handle that? I'll tell you how some of you have handled it, and I applaud you. You sit down with your children and you say, Daddy was wrong. Don't do it that way. I sinned against God. I sinned against you. I sinned against your mother. And if I could go back, I would do it differently. I wouldn't do that. Don't make that mistake. Or maybe you would say, hey, Daddy left, and I'm praying for you. We're doing it this way, and God's doing it great. And look at how miraculous, look at how good God is. And yeah, God's given me strength, and we're making it, and it's a happy home. But let me tell you something. When you look for a husband, here's what you look for. Be positive. Don't break down God's design. Use it as an opportunity to turn the light on God's design. Use your pain and your misery as a place for ministry to your young children, where you can actually shine a brighter light than the family that's always known exactly what it was. When in the lack, sometimes you can sharper define what you're looking for. You can razor sharpen your focus, and you could actually become an even better blessing, whereas somebody else just might take it for granted. Sure, I'll meet a husband. He'll be great. He's cute. He makes me laugh. No, you're like, oh, no. Don't, It's not just about him making you laugh. That'll wear off. You know that. Get a man of character. Get a godly man, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? You're sowing the seeds. So don't normalize what is abnormal. Or here's another one. Well, my family, if you could have seen my parents' marriage, it was a disaster, and I'm scared of marriage now. I'm scared of marriage. Don't take their dysfunction and their abnormality and you just say, well, marriage doesn't work for me. No, man, if you're dating a girl, it's moving toward marriage. There's no other point to dating than to marriage. And the girl said, there's no other reason. That's where this is headed. You don't recreationally date. What's the point? You're moving towards marriage. That's the point. That's where this thing is headed. Otherwise, if you have no intent to marry, then don't date. You say, well, I want to date. Why? You start going down that trail, we could have a very interesting conversation we will not have in public right now. Okay? So what does he say? He says, let's break it down. He says, honor your father and your mother. Okay? We'll talk about honor, but first let's talk father and mother. The objects of the honor begin father and mother. It says father and mother. And don't miss the radical nature of this statement. Father and mother. In that day and age, it was common in cultural circles for the mother to be just a little more than a servant in the house. We don't have to look back 3,000-4,000 years. We could look today in certain parts of the world. You see cultures where the women in certain parts of the world, it's obvious to anyone to behold that there is a deep subjugation of women culturally, a depression of the dignity of women. And yet, thousands of years ago, from the lips of your creator, he says, here's how the family looks. Father, yeah, and mother. Okay. Daddy and mama. Come on. Have you ever said, just wait till your daddy gets home? No more scary words than that. Wait till your daddy comes home. Whoa! I got a word for you. In the Christian home, who understands God's design, you don't ever have to say that again. Mama doesn't have to wait till daddy comes home. Mama can handle her business right now because there's honor in the house and mama has authority right there with dad, father, and mother. Come on, mama. Come on, mama. That's good. That's true. I'm just telling you, do you understand what it's saying there is that godly homes, the mama is in authority. Father and mother. They are at the top of the org chart in the family. Some of y'all are, oh, I'm not so comfortable with org charts in the family, you know, linear, and they're at the top and the kids are at the bottom. Sorry, that's called leadership. That's it. This is not consensus. This is not some circle where everybody gets a voice and we just do what you say. No, moms and dads lead. Moms and dads, you lead. That's God's design. And at the top of the org chart, mother and father. Thus saith the Lord. Sitting about Brandon, I know I married a strong girl. I'm not justifying that choice. It's biblical choice. Right? So father and mother. That means that mom and dad, you need to be a unified front. Don't let a kid come back door to you. Hey, can I play video games right now? Sure. They already asked mom. Mom said no. They backdoored you. They just backdoored you. Don't let that happen. Here's a clue. Let me help you guys. I'm going to save you so much money on counseling right now. Here it is. What did your mother say? Assuming you asked your mother, what did your mother say? And then when they answer you, then you understand you're a unified front. If they've wised up to that and then they come to you and they say, you say, what did your mother say? Well, I haven't asked her yet. And then you get double smart. You say, go ask your mother. I will agree with her. If you disagree, you and the mother, y'all go talk it out, but not in front of the kids. You're a unified front. You are a unified front. Don't let that backdoor stuff stand. And that also means don't have these favorites like, oh, well, that one's my kid and that one's your kid and that one's my kid and the kids hear this and yeah, I'm a mama's boy or I'm a daddy's girl and I'm all this and I'm all that. No, that is division. That means I can honor my father. I don't necessarily have to honor my mother. Don't do that. Now, let's keep it real. Some kids, you may love them all, but you may like that one a little more. In certain seasons, like I'm liking you a lot more than the other one right now. But don't tell them. I am stunned and astounded at how much parents tell their kids. Do not tell your kids that stuff. You don't tell them everything. Here's a biblical principle. It's called progressive revelation. You tell them what they can handle as they can handle it. You don't just dump all your stuff on your kids. Blah, 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 blah. Well, your brother's driving me crazy. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Well, I don't like you right now. Blah, 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 blah. Don't say that stuff. Don't say that stuff. You hold it in. You go talk in private. You sort it out. You may be wrong. Don't put that on your kids. Your kids are not the carriers of your emotional cup. You hear that? We got to lead those kids. Your kids are not the carriers of your emotional cup. You determine what you're going to tell them and what you won't tell them. Sometimes it's better to tell them in retrospect. That's what we've done. We've said, you know, when you were 10, you were tough. Really? Yes, you were. And especially on your mother. You were really hard on your mother. Or you were really hard on me, man. I got to tell you, it was tough. I don't know what it was here, but there was something there. You tell them later. You don't have to tell them in real time. You're the leader. Part of the burden of leadership is holding some stuff in. You just hold it in for the unity of the leadership role in your family. You are a unified front. You are a unified front. You are an undivided unit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. So here we see, verse 2, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And here we see Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. So all out the Bible, they're reaffirming this principle of the structure of the home. There's a unified front, and honor flows up. Honor your parents. Honor flows up. But guess what? Honor also flows down. Do not discourage them. Do not provoke them. Boy, this is convicting to me because I love to mess with my kids and aggravate them. I love it. It's inside of me. I don't know what's wrong with me. I love to. I did it with my brothers, and then when they all grew up, I went with my kids. And now that we got a dog, I do it to the dog. I don't know what's wrong with me. Susan told me last night, don't be so hard on yourself. But what God did tell me in this was he showed me something, and I want to share it with you in real time and be very honest with you. This God convicted me of this. That when the only means through which I'm relating to my kids is aggravation or silliness or laughing and jokes. What I'm really doing is creating a barrier between us, an emotional barrier, where I'm not honoring the person that God has made them to be, and I'm not entering into them as a little person that's growing up and seeing their dignity and seeing their personhood and seeing, and it's easy to take them a little more serious when they're a parent, but what about when they're 10, you know, and you see the dignity and you see the personhood in them, and if that's the only way, and if I can't engage in an honest conversation with them right where they are, then I'm not understanding and I'm not giving them the honor that God would have me give them. So honor flows in two different ways. Honor flows down and honor flows up, and that's a biblical model. God showered his honor down to us. God showered his honor down to us. What greater honor than God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to walk among us? What greater honor, God with us, who came to walk among us? What greater honor than God sacrificing himself on the cross, taking all of our sin, honor, honor, so that we could embrace a new life with him. He took all our sin. He kicked the devil in the teeth, conquered death, came back to life so that we could have life. That's you, so that you could be an adopted daughter of the Most High God, an adopted son of the Most High God. What honor. What honor that now you can pray to God and you don't need to mediate through anybody else, no priest and no sacrifice anymore. You can go right in to the Holy of Holies and talk to God one-on-one in the privacy of your seat right now. You can talk to God one-on-one. What honor is that, that you have the privileges of daughter, of son? You have been greatly honored. And we live our life saying, I will honor you back. I will honor you back. That's the model that we bring into our home. So honor is more of a culture than it is a series of behaviors. Honor is a culture more than a series of behaviors. Do you ever get tired in parenting of correcting individual behaviors? Don't do that. Okay, well, don't do that. Good night. Stop doing that. Are you kidding me? Not that. And you do it a million times a day, every day of the week. A million times a day, every day of the week. And then again, and you're so tired and so whipped, and we're like, man, this parenting thing. If you're always chasing individual behaviors, you are chasing infinity, and they will always live under judgment because they're going to get stuff wrong. But if we create and install culture in our home, and one of the foundations, not the only, but one of the foundations of that culture in your home is honor, then they can take a whole host of behaviors and identify that was dishonored, that was dishonored, that was dishonored, that was dishonored, that was dishonored. And it wipes out maybe a third of the bad behavior. See, culture and filter, that's what honor is. It's a house culture of honor. And what did he say in Ephesians? He said, and you must discipline your children. What is discipline? Discipline is the enforcement of culture. Discipline, here's what culture is. Culture is shaped at your business, among your friendships, in your home. Culture is shaped by what you permit and what you refuse. That's culture. Have you ever been in a business and there's a bad culture? Have you ever walked into a restaurant and it's bad service and bad quality of food? The reason that restaurant is a failing bad restaurant is because of bad culture. They allowed practices that allowed filth. They allowed things to happen in the service side of it that are sloppy. And you walk away as a consumer and you say, I never want to go back there again. It's culture. It's what was allowed and what was refused. Well, in your home, you've got to go to the Word of God and say, here's what we will allow and here's what we will refuse. When you knock up against what we have predetermined is a no, I will enforce the no. When you discipline, a culture of honor does not discipline in anger. You are not honoring that child by disciplining in anger. Disciplining in anger as if I'm punishing you out of my anger is sin. When you discipline out of honor, it is beautiful because you are seeing them head down a road they do not want to go. You are correcting that behavior so that they could get on to life. They get on to life. When they say, oh, we never do this. We never do that. We never do this. You never spend money on us. We never do that. We never have fun in our house. We never have fun. Think I've heard that? Oh, you never let us do it. You always say no. You always. Anybody with me? At that point, you can make a choice to go toe-to-toe with every one of their objections. Okay, let's take that one. You say we never, well, do you remember when? And you could go, well, you say we always, well, that's not true. And then you say, well, we never have fun. Well, do you remember last November whenever I put on the Mickey ears for you? And we spent all that money to go to Disney, and you could go toe-to-toe. And I've rarely seen that really be a satisfying experience. Or you could pause and say, hey, let's stop right there. This is a dishonoring conversation. And there is dishonor in your heart right now. You're speaking to me in a dishonorable way. So before we address all those complaints, let's deal with the bigger issue, your dishonor. Because I love you. And if you continue down dishonor, it will not go well for you, the Bible says. This is the first commandment with a promise. It will not go well with you, dishonor. That's discipline, correction, in the calm of honor. So what are we doing today? Today, we are bringing honor back, Jay Timberlake. We're bringing honor back. Yeah. That's what we're doing. We're bringing honor back. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all remember that? It wasn't honor. But we're bringing honor back. So what does that word honor mean? What does that word honor mean? Well, first, it's to value something. Like, I prize it. I cherish it. It's of great value. So the first thing about honor your father or mother, your parents are your prize. Your parents are your prize. So are you leading your children to prize the other parent? That's honor. Honor is value. Honor is value. Whenever I was young growing up, my father was leading a church that required many evening meetings. There were a lot of committees in that church. And there was a lot of evening meetings. And sometimes that would conflict with like a basketball game that I had. And inevitably, and I remember my whole life, my mom would say, oh, your dad, he's working so hard. Your dad, he's working so hard. Oh, you know, I'm so proud of your daddy. He's working so hard. And you know, the Bible says, he who helps a prophet along in his way will share in the prophet's reward. Oh, your daddy's working so hard. I'm there right now in my head. And what was she doing? She was talking up her spouse to the children to prize rather than focusing on maybe the pain. Didn't bother me as much, but, you know, my weaker younger brother had a little problem with it. But anyway, I'm just kidding. I just have fun with that. But anyway, boys, you know. But no, truly, though, you know, rather than the pain of he's not here, oh, your dad, oh, that church, oh, the church, oh, the church, oh, the church. No, she never did that. She was always just talking up. Speak up your spouse. You talk down your spouse and you expect them to lift them up in honor? You have trained them to dishonor. So we shouldn't be shocked when there's a culture of dishonor. We have dissed honor and then we reap dishonor. Sitting at the table, we diss the honor of an authority over us, namely a boss. And we're shocked when there's this rebellious dishonor at school toward like a principal or a teacher. We dishonor and chaos is the result. It's not working. You've got to love, honor. We've got to bring honor back. Your parents are your prize. Talk them up. And hey, it's not always easy. I get it, to talk them up because there's dysfunction. We all get there. And so you find the prize. He loves you. She loves you. You find the prize. Another angle on the word honor is it's care. It's affection. It's care. It's your affection. So that couple is your calling. As a child looking at your parents, that couple is your calling. You're called to care for them. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3, take care of any widow who has no one else to care for her. But if she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home and repay their parents by taking care of them. This is something that pleases God. Verse 8, but those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. This is super convicting. I mean, let the Bible speak for itself. What does God mean? Let's go there. If it's uncomfortable, go there. What it's saying is, for the Christ follower, we are to have a heart of care. Now, what does that mean? As your parents are in an aging season of their life, you should pray, Holy Spirit of God, how do I show care and provision for my aging parents? And really, I'm not going to give you the list of the things you should do. The Holy Spirit can give you a much better personalized list than I could give you from the stage. Pray, Holy Spirit of God, how do I do this? Because in those days, the family unit, that was the only social safety net for a struggling widow. That was the only social safety net for a father who could not work or was too old. And so the family stepped in, and it was assumed that godly people who love the Bible, love God, and now love Jesus, we are a safety social net for our families. We do not outsource that to anybody else as a first responsibility. We are that. Now, how you do that, pay for them to have assisted living. How you do that, move them into your home. How you do that, that is a matter of prayer between you and your God. That is. And I trust you with that. I trust you with that. Get wise counsel. Pray hard. Thread the needle on your own, and you'll come up with a different solution than someone else. But the heart of care, is it there? But could I even say that it's far more than aging elderly parents? That you can show the heart of care as you give honor up in a different way. It could be that your in-laws or your parents are over there, and you've got grandkids, and they're across the room, and you tell a grandkid or you tell your child, you say, hey, go over there and give granddad a hug. Go over there and give granddad a hug. And you stand over there and you watch. Make sure they do it. And you watch as little kid throws arms around granddad's neck, grandma's neck, whatever. And you see them light up and tears come down their cheek. And you see them love that moment. And they don't know you sent them. They don't need to know you sent them. They don't need to know that. But what are you doing? Love. I'm showing care. I'm not just going to take from you my whole life. I'm going to give back. I'm not just going to take the food off your table. I'm not just going to take your free babysitting. I'm not just going to take all this stuff. I'm going to give back. How do you do that? How do you do that? You, as a Christ follower, must ask that question if you want to honor. Here is God's promise. If you do this, you will thrive. You will thrive. You will thrive. To the people of Israel, he said, I will give you a land and you'll live there long. Long life? Are you kidding me? Long life? Moses himself, who was leading the people out of slavery, when he was a baby, every male Hebrew was thrown into the river to curb the growth of the nation of Israel inside of Egypt and inside of slavery. They knew death. They knew oppression. And they knew what it was like to be away from a land that they could call their own. And they were headed back. And the thought of life and the thought of land, it was a promise and it was their potential. So what does it mean for you to thrive? God has a promise and a potential. Don't reject the honoring of a father and mother. Maybe you would look back on your teenage days or when you went to college, you say, Boy, I drove my parents crazy. And you laugh about it because now you're not that way. You were rebellious in a season of your life. Oh, boy, I gave my dad some gray hairs. And you would say, I did that. Rather than laughing it off, maybe we need to confess that sin. Hey, Mom, Dad, you know, I've found a faith in Jesus, and I gave you guys a hard time growing up. And I just want to ask for your forgiveness. It was wrong. And I'm now understanding. And I don't want my kids to be that way. And I understand the pain I caused you. I hope you could forgive me. That could be a heavy moment for you, but it could be a real healing moment for you. Talk about healing. As I wrap up, could I just, and I really want you to listen with your hearts, and I really want you to listen. I pray God really helps me make this point as we wrap up. Some of you listening to this message has been an exercise of discipline to stay in your seat, because every time I say the word Father, it's like a knife. And every time I say the word mother, it's like a knife. Because I know enough stories in this church, and I know enough stories through my years of ministry, many years of ministry. I know enough stories growing up in the church, and I know enough stories in my own life to know that for some of you, a father in your home was a devil. A mother, horrible. And you say, okay, so what you're saying is to honor my father and mother, I just walk right back in. Let me help you. Number one, that is not what I'm saying. First two commandments. First one, no other God before me. You have a heavenly father that loves you better than any earthly father. And that heavenly father, you are never to break his design on the evil whims of an earthly father. So your first allegiance is to your heavenly father. So if somebody is asking you to do something that is clearly illegal or clearly immoral, you can lean back into the arms of your heavenly father. Okay? I want you to hear that, but let me take it a step further. In one of the churches that I attended growing up, there was a message my father was preaching, and by the end of the message, someone was on their knees and face before God, crying, weeping, heaving, because for them, when he spoke that day, his topic was forgiveness. She told him, she said, today I found forgiveness. Now here's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is when somebody sins against you, it deposits a debt on you. They took a chunk of your life, and they owe you for that, what they took. Okay, innocence or happiness. They took something, and they created a debt. You can keep that debt and carry it for your whole life. You become bitter, and it causes all kinds of chaos in your life. Forgiveness is God's way, says, I'm not saying what they did was right, and I'm not saying you forget it, but what if you could trust me, if you'll let me carry that debt, I want you free. You're chained to that moment. You're chained to that season of your life. If you could give me that debt, then you're unchained. You're set free and you can go on to your freedom. She says, I grew up in a home where the father, the whole community thought he was a spiritual man, church guy. But in my home, he was the devil. Abuse. By the time she was in that altar crying, she told the church that she had been visiting her dad's grave. He had died. She'd been visiting the dad's grave on a periodic basis. And when she'd go to that grave, she would abuse the grave. She would abuse the grave because of the baggage and the burden. On that day, when she gave that burden to God, she was free. Maybe for you, it was emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. But to say, have a message on father, it so festers that father wound. To talk about mother, when mother was mean, it just is so painful and so hurtful. Could I just say, how do I honor that? Right? I've got a word for you. You can honor through forgiveness. And that doesn't mean that your relationship is rebuilt or intact, but honor the institution through forgiveness, saying, I'm giving that person to you, God, and I refuse to be chained to that brokenness. I refuse to be chained to that dysfunction. I'm moving on. And in my family, I'm honoring my next generation with the forgiveness that I found. And we will not let the chaos and the radioactive junk from that make its way into my children. Today, in my generation, through the power of God, I can push the reset button because I've been born again. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. And I didn't have much of a dad. Maybe that's your story. I didn't have much of a mom, but God is the ultimate parent. And I fall into your arms. And I'm going to be more like you, God, to my kids and my grandkids. And I'm not, maybe for you, it's not so much something heavy like that. It's just a series of choices that you would look back and you'd say, I just so disagree with my parents here. I would say you could honor your parents by giving grace. Okay, I'm not going to do that. You made that choice, but I cover you with grace, and I'm not going to sit here and just argue about it. I'll tell you, for my kids, I'm going to need grace. I will need grace already. Earlier in my parenting, I could look at things and I'd say, oh, dear God, would you give me grace? Forgiveness and grace. Today, you can honor God's design for the family. You can. Let's pray together. If you're here today and that was a painful moment for you just now, I believe God led me to open that door for you. I truly do. I wouldn't have done it if I didn't believe that with all my heart. And maybe today is a reaffirmation of some healing that you found, or maybe today you begin to discover true healing, true forgiveness. That you don't, the thing that the enemy would love to mess with you with is that you don't know how to raise a family because you didn't have much of one. Satan will spit lies in your ears. Yeah, you can't be fully functional because you were so dysfunctional. No, you don't listen to those voices. Listen to the God who loves you, and he woos you, and he holds you, and he cares for you. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, my story is I'm ready to start this thing. Would you start that journey today? God, would you adopt me into your family? May I never be the same again. I'll take the first step of faith, believing Jesus died for my sin, conquered death to give me life. And may we all lift high God's design in all ways, particularly with the family. In Jesus' name, amen.